Would, let's look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and just look at this story of the resurrection. I would encourage you, I did this yesterday, I read the resurrection accounts in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one's just a little bit different, but they're basically all the same. They're from different eyewitnesses and those accounts that had been passed down to them historically. I just want to read the first 10, 11 verses here in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, Sabbath is what day? Saturday. At dawn on the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday, the Lord's day now. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." Listen to this. "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There will you see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Then one other passage in Colossians, just a very short brief passage. It's in Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." The resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, is such a momentous thing that it's difficult for us to even comprehend. Read an interesting story about a man named Steve. Steve was a pastor, church out in West Virginia, and he had a brother named Ron, and Ron was just 42 years of age, but he passed away unexpectedly. He was a district attorney and very sharp young man, good husband, good father, and he was Ron's best friend. Steve and Ron were best friends as brothers. That's not always true. But they were best friends. Well, he had this coronary and just died very suddenly. And of course, the whole family on both sides were just devastated. So about a month after the funeral, and Steve went back to visit his mother, and he decided he'd go out and visit the cemetery, go see where his brother was buried. But when he got out there, it was on kind of a hill there in West Virginia, which most of West Virginia is pretty hilly, but there was a cold wind, and he was just miserable. He was just almost shaking. You know how sometimes that cold just goes right through you. He said, "I was just shaking, and I couldn't get warm." He said, "I could hardly get a deep breath." And he said, "I started looking for his grave," and he said they hadn't put a stone up yet, but he said there were two or three other graves there that were not marked. And he said, I didn't know which one was my brother Ron's. And he said, all of a sudden, this wave of grief just washed over me, and I began to sob. And I said, oh God, this has been the worst month of my life, and now I can't even find my brother's grave. And he said, he stood there for a moment or two, and then he said, I felt the presence of the Lord with me. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ himself. And he said, words from Scripture filled my heart and mind. He said, they were words that were spoken by angels to the two women who went to the tomb to visit Jesus' grave. And those words were, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? And then he said, I realized that cemetery, that grave, that's not Ron's home. His home is in heaven. His home is with Jesus. And he said, I never went back to the cemetery again. Now, I know sometimes we like to go to the cemetery and we like to see where our loved one is buried, and it brings us a feeling of closeness and perhaps comfort when we do that. But that's not where our loved ones are at home. Our loved ones are at home in Christ, with Christ. I hope you're in Christ. I hope that you feel that you are in a right relationship with Jesus today. It's not too late. If you're not, if you're struggling with your faith, if you doubt your beliefs, if you're not confident of your salvation, then I encourage you today to get into a right relationship with Jesus. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a momentous event. It can't be cornered. It can't be fully explained or comprehended in just a simple event. It's both past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. First of all, it is an historic event. The resurrection of Jesus is an historic event, and this event is an amazing event. I mean, people have tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus down through the centuries. There was a man named Lee Strobel, who was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And he was an agnostic. He really didn't know what he believed. But he began to investigate the story of Christ, and especially the resurrection of Jesus. And he's written a couple of books. One of them is called The Case for Christ. If you have any doubts about Jesus and his validity and his divine sonship and what he came to do, that in fact he is God in the flesh, I encourage you to get that book. It's a very well-known seller, The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. There's other great books called, one of them is called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It is an historical event. Somebody said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is easier to prove than Columbus discovering the New World. and several other events like that. There are very special events, things that are historical, and some of them are not as verifiable as the resurrection of Jesus. Just look at the witnesses. Look at what happened to the apostles, to the followers of Jesus in that first century. They were devastated because Jesus had died. They were shook up. They were numb because this one that they believed to be the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of God, suddenly he is crucified like a common criminal. And yet, when they saw the resurrected Christ, like Thomas, when they saw the nail prints in his hands, side, feet, they were willing, and they did, most of them, die for their faith. They would not die. They turned the world upside down in a spiritual way. Jesus had told them right before his ascension, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and he said, you will be my witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's exactly what they did. They were persecuted, they were scattered, and they went out and they preached the gospel. Even old doubting Thomas went to India, tradition says, and there he was martyred for his Christian faith. The story is often told about Watergate. Remember Watergate? Some of you old folks like me remember Watergate. But Watergate was quite a deal. I mean, there was a conspiracy, and there were about 10 or 11 guys that were really in on this conspiracy. And about the same number as Jesus' disciples. And yet, it was said that these guys couldn't even stick with that story for over 2 weeks. They scattered. They gave up what they should not have given up to protect themselves. They just couldn't keep that truth in focus. They couldn't hold it together. And he said, and yet these disciples of Jesus, these apostles, they went all over the known civilized world at that time, and they stuck with their story that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the New Testament, if you read the accounts, especially in the book of Acts, you see that almost every sermon in the book of Acts mentions at some point the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, the New Testament, let me just go back and check this outline real quick. The New Testament itself is an amazing thing. It permeates, the resurrection permeates the entire New Testament. Look with me, if you would, for a moment at 1 Corinthians 15. This is a great passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, it begins with a definition of the gospel. Paul says, I preach the gospel to you. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. He said, brothers, I want to remind you the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the words I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received of you, I passed on to you of first importance. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Though then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty definite proof, isn't it? That he appeared to these people. They were convinced that he was dead. Most of them were at the crucifixion. They were witnesses of the crucifixion. And yet they were willing to suffer and die for their faith. And again, the book of Acts just is permeated with sermons on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Next of all, the resurrection is also a present reality. A present reality. Jesus talked about passing away in reverse of how we normally talk about it. How do we talk about it? We say somebody's passed away. What do we mean? We mean they have passed from life to death. They died. They were alive and they died. But Jesus turned that inside out, didn't he? In John 5:24, and John affirms it in 1 John 3:14, we are passed from death into life. After our death, we are passed into eternal life. That's the opposite of what we think, isn't it? So we need to stop and think about that and understand that. It's a present reality. Some of you may have heard of Garrison Keillor. He was host of the Prairie Home Companion radio program many years out of Minneapolis on a lot of the radios. I used to listen to him. He's written several books. He was a great storyteller, but I was reading one of his books, and he told a true story. This isn't one he made up. This is a true story. He said there was a farmer, and he was plowing a field, had an old tractor, and it was going real slow, about 5 miles an hour. He said he was bored. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to work for his dad, but that's what he was doing. He was riding his tractor slowly across this field, and he fell asleep. And he fell off of the tractor, fell off of the back, and he was able to, as he woke up, he was able to grab a bar there, and right behind him, there was this disc. He was disking manure into the field, into the dirt, mixing up the dirt and the manure. And he said he knew if he let go, he would die. And he hung on, and he hung on. And he said, but the tractor was in gear. He said it had a notch thing, old tractor. And he said, just kept going, kept going, kept going. And he said he kept hanging on. He kept thinking, I'm going to die. I'm going to die if I let loose. And he was hanging on literally for dear life. And he said, finally, this tractor got to the end of the field, and there was a little incline, and he went up, and finally it ran into a tree and stopped. And he said, then it still took me about 10 minutes to get my bearings and to get my balance and to pull myself up and to get up and turn that tractor off. He said, this fella says that he met death face to face. He faced his own immortality. And he said it changed his entire life from that moment on. He said, I knew that I needed to be in a right relationship with the Lord. And he said, from that point on, he said, it changed my entire life. He met his immortality. He faced his own immortality. We all have to do that, don't you know? I've said this before. I think it was George Bernard Shaw, the playwright. He said, the statistics are impressive. One out of one people die. That means you're going to die. I'm going to die. And we can't escape that, can we? It is appointed unto man, the Hebrew writer says, to die. And after that, the judgment. Are you in a right relationship with him? Have you faced your own immortality? I got an email on Facebook from our college, Ozark Christian College out in Missouri. This past week, there's a young woman there. She's 42 years of age. She's a wife and mother. She has terminal cancer. She's been battling it now for about a year. They went in this last week, and they said, there's nothing more you can do. The doctor said, at most, you have 3 or 4 weeks to live. What if that were you? What if you knew that you would only have 3 or 4 weeks to live? You know, the resurrection is a present reality for those of us who are in Christ, because we know that the best is yet to come. And it's not in this world, is it? Not in this world. This is a fallen world. So Easter is an historical event. It's a present reality because in faith, just like we sang a few moments ago, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives within my mind, my beliefs, my faith. And so it's a present reality. And then finally, Easter is not only this historical event and present reality, it is an eternal anticipation. And again, our text says, don't set your heart on the things here on earth. Set your affections, your heart, on things which are above. Things which are above. If you've been raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above. So, because he lives, we can face the future. Because we live, because he lives, all fear is gone. Yes, there is some anxiety when we face our own death, but it's not the kind of fear for those who have no hope. We have hope, don't we, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once there was a man named George. He was accustomed to driving his wife, Rosie, to church every Sunday. They'd been married for 40 years. They loved each other. They were inseparable in almost every area of their life except one. He wouldn't go into church. He'd drive her to church, but he'd sit in the car and read the paper while she was in church. This went on for years. After Rosie died, those Sundays after her death, he didn't show up. His car was missing. People had been accustomed to seeing it there all the time, but it wasn't there anymore. But when Easter came, the car appeared again. George came, but he didn't stay in the car. He got out and he came in to the Easter service. And after the sermon, just before the benediction, George stood up and he said, Rosie lives. Rosie lives. And of course, people were shocked and what's going on here? And then, believe it or not, he began to sing My Wild Irish Rose, the sweetest flower that grows. And he said, a bunch of other people started singing that too. They all kind of join in. It's just one of the best Easter hymns they ever heard in that little church. Rosie lives. And because Christ lives, Rosie lives. You know, this eternal anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our own resurrection after this life is over is a precious thing. It's a very, very precious thing. I was thinking about this week. You know, we've lost some dear, dear folks here. Not too far back, Dale Waltz, Herb Cook. I miss those guys. They were always sitting out here in the foyer. There are some others that we've lost. But I'm looking forward to seeing those guys again with eternal anticipation. I'm looking forward to seeing my own parents and grandparents. And we lost a little baby girl, and I've lost both my brothers and sister here in the last few years, and many other dear loved ones down through the years. But you know something? God gave us life, and Christ gives us eternal life, everlasting. Nothing can really stop life, not even death and decay. It's an eternal gift from an eternal God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder. And we don't need to just be reminded of it once a year. We need to think about it every time we come to worship. I know those early disciples stopped worshiping and meeting together on the Sabbath, on the Saturday, and they started celebrating the resurrection on Sunday, the first day of the week. And they made it the Lord's Day. And that's why we gather on the Lord's Day. That's why we meet around this table on the Lord's Day. That's why we fellowship and worship and give and serve and fellowship with each other on this day, the anniversary from 2,000 years ago of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray if there's anybody here today outside of Christ that's not in a right relationship with Him, that this would be that day of decision, when He said, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want Him in my heart. I want Him in my life. I want to have this eternal anticipation and excitement concerning eternity when this life is over. So, Father, bless then just this invitation time. If there's anyone here outside of Christ, I pray this would be a day of decision. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and we sing this great old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For
For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged
cross
till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged
cross
and exchange it someday for a crown. Well, thank you all for being here. I wish you'd all come back next Sunday. I know some of you are visiting and from away, but it's sure great to see the place full. And that's a blessing.
162.
How many?
162.
I was sure there was at least 163 here. Did you count this young girl right down here in front? I always question his count. They talk about a preacher's count. Preacher always likes to exaggerate the count just a little bit. Update here, Beth Cooper. She's a young lady here. Had a lung transplant a couple of years ago, and she had hip replacement surgery last Monday morning up at Methodist and had some complications with it, and hopefully was able to come home Friday or maybe even yesterday, but keep her in your prayers. Part of the problem is the anti-rejection medicine just messes with your kidneys and everything else. So keep Beth and Jim Cooper in your prayers. And then Marissa Hendrickson, she had surgery Tuesday over in Cincinnati. How's she doing?
She's in a lot of pain, but she made it through the surgery, so that was the first lesson. So it'll be a year or so before we know if any of her symptoms have improved. So thanks everybody for all your prayers.
All right, man, it's a tough deal. Then Otis's son-in-law, T.J. Davidson, had open heart surgery up at Community North Friday, and he came through that pretty good and was doing all right, so keep him in your prayer. There's a long list of prayers on the back of the... There's always plenty to pray about, but don't just pray for the sick pray for spiritual healing, too, for a lot of people. If people need the Lord. And that's the ultimate victory, the ultimate prayer we need to be praying for people's spiritual relationship, their spiritual health, as it were. So, Brother Larry, would you say a benediction prayer for us, brother?
Father, what can we say but hallelujah? We thank you for this day. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Jesus, for being willing to love us so much that you came from the splendor of heaven to die on an old wooden cross, to be buried in a borrowed grave, but to come out of that grave alive forevermore.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not only hope, Father, it's reality. And we thank you for that. Father, the grave couldn't hold you, and the devil can't keep Jesus from coming back. And my, how we look forward to that time when he'll split the eastern sky, and we'll see Jesus face to face.
Amen.
Thank you for all of our blessings and for this momentous, wonderful day that we call Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Raise Son of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joy and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heaven and earth reply. Alleluia.